Good morning, Interweb. Dateline London on Sunday, the 7th of June 2014. Day 6 of the trip. Nice, beautiful, sunny morning. Not too hot, not a cloud in the sky. As I leave my lodge this morning, settled into the new room, which is awesome. Only 4 people in this one, so that is rather cool. And I now won't have to move. I won't have to move now until I check out for my next destination. So this morning, for the first time since I've been in London, I don't need to check out this morning and check back in, because I can only get 3 separate bookings. Anywho, I could hear from the new room, I could hear what sounded to be a bus at the back of the lodge. And then walking this morning, I found that the lodge is surrounded by buses. At the front is the bus route that I've been using for the last 2 days, the 98. And from there, I can go direct to downtown London. The Kilburn High Road, for instance, and down to central London. Or if I head in the other direction on the 98, I can head to the Willesden Green High Street area, which is where I'm heading now. If I go out the back, it's a totally different bus. It's the 206 at the back, and one of the places that I can go on the 206, which I will at some stage, I can go to Wembley. So as I was saying yesterday, there's more than one option. So I'm heading down. I want to check out the High Street, which I haven't done yet. I want to check out the High Street, but I also want to find the locksmith. I couldn't get a hold of them, which for Sunday might not necessarily be a surprise. Some places may not be open on Sunday. They may indeed, Albert, be closed. And I found out that a lot of the general trading on a Sunday starts at 10 a.m. So considering that it's, 20 past 9 now, as the number 98 passes me, well, I thought, okay, I'll just go for a walk downtown and investigate, and if need be I can, pop back, get my bag if needed. Did I bring... No, I don't think I did. No, I didn't bring the other part of the key, which is still in the lock, but I didn't want to bring my bag all the way down here to find out that the guy's closed. And I also didn't want to be sitting around the lodge until 10. I didn't want to do that either, so I thought I'll come down, check out the High Street. Because I'm going to be here for a few days yet. And we'll go from there. One of the interesting things about London and the UK in general, how it's set out, is that part of the postcode can tell you what area you're in. And it's more descriptive, geographically descriptive, than what a like a postcode is in Australia, or a zip code. Or a zip code is in the US.
So if I walk out the front of the lodge, I'm in Northwest 2. Just like I am in Northwest 2 now. As I arrive on the high street. If I go out the back of the lodge and to the bus stop for the 206, I'm in Northwest 6. So I'm still Northwest, but it's just like that road is obviously the boundary between Northwest 2 and Northwest 6. Now, all of a sudden, if I'm travelling around, and like when I was in Glamorsmith yesterday, I was in W something. Well, that means I'm no longer in the Northwest, but I'm in the West. A similar sort of thing does happen in Portland, Oregon. You know, they're very heavy on their directions there. But yes, I'm very much in the centre. Now I'm in the London Borough of Brent, which is basically their way of saying that it's the local council of Brent. One of the nearby boroughs is Camden. Oh, I can get a 266 bus to Glamorsmith from here. That's interesting. You know, from down on the high street. There's another 98 bus. And yep, I'm here. This is the sort of London experience that I wanted. Yeah, this is the sort of experience, the local experience that I wanted, not necessarily just the downtown London experience. And yeah, there's not a lot that's actually open at the moment from what I can see, but I'll continue. Well, I am outside the Locksmith, and not surprisingly, it is closed. They're open Monday to Friday 9 till 5, Saturday 9 to 1, and closed on Sunday. But now that I know that it's here, I can get a bus from outside the front door. There's a bus right outside its front door on the 98, so I can do that, come here, hopefully get it fixed, go back to the hotel room, drop the bag off, and then do what I have to do from then on. So hopefully tomorrow that situation will be fixed. You know, there's not much I can do about it now. Most of the high street, not surprisingly, is closed. There's the occasional fruit shop or, you know, little supermarket that's open. The bedding shop's already open. Sainsbury's doesn't open until 11. You know, and it's, you know, almost 10 now. What would Adrian Mole do in this situation? Although then again, would he be out of bed at this time in the morning on a Sunday morning anyway? Adrian Mole
and the character of Adrian Mole was one of my introductions to what life would be like in the UK reading the books in that series as a child. And so actually being here, sometimes you can think, you know, yeah, down the high street, you know, nothing's open, what would Adrian Mole do? That sort of thing. The author of the Adrian Mole series actually died a few months ago now, Sue Townsend. She'd been suffering health issues for quite some time, and so unfortunately that chapter is now closed. There's a couple of books and a couple of later books in the series that I haven't read, but it basically starts off of being a diary of a teenage boy in England. So as I wasn't quite a teenage boy, it was an interesting read. So I'm here at the bus stop waiting for a bus. There's the 266 to Glamorsmith. Not that I'll necessarily end up in Glamorsmith, but it will take me to a few different places while I decide what I'm going to do. I need to eat. I didn't have breakfast at the ranch this morning at the lodge. That's the 460. Oh, that's only terminating up the road anyway. Who cares? So let's get on the 266. And we'll go from there and work on a game plan and get something to eat, because I didn't eat at the lodge this morning. The high road's a little bit longer than I expected it to be on the map. There's some people out and about, not many. It'd be interesting to compare what this actually will be like tomorrow when all the businesses are open. Villiers Road. Oh, that's... You know, we'd call it a bus depot. interesting to see if I can actually see the bus depot from the bus. I think the bus depot might be around the corner, I can't see it from here. Ah, there's the bus depot. Quite a few buses in there from what I can see. So here I am, I'm at Wilton Junction Station, which is a joint station between London Underground and London Overground. If I go on the Underground, I can go on the Bakerloo line, and I can go to places such as Elephant and Castle and Watford Junction if I head in the other direction. And the Overground, I can go to Stratford, Richmond and Clapham Junction. So just going through some of the departures.
wait for it to click back to the first screen. There's a lot of track work this weekend. On one of the overground, there's no service between Shepherd's Bush and Wellston Junction, Richmond Camden Road, until 12 o'clock. Or I can get the underground service, which is probably what I'll end up doing. So just looking at the departures. Stratford at 10:15, Elephant and Castle at 10:18, Harrow and Wordstone at 10:18, at 10:26, Elephant and Castle 10:28, Watford Junction 10:31, and there's a lot more to go on, so let's go towards Elephant and Castle, platform 1. Okay, I'm in. Let's go to platform 1. Okay, if I go on platform 1, I can go on the Bakerloo line from Wellston Junction to Kensal Green, Queen's Park, Kilburn Park, Maida Vale, so that's where Maida Vale is, Warwick Avenue, Paddington, Edgware Road, Marylebone, Baker Street, Regent's Park, Oxford Circus, Piccadilly Circus, Charing Cross, Embankment, Waterloo, Lambeth North and Elephant and Castle. And I can take the overground, platform 1, to Hilburn High Road, South Hampstead and Houston. If I was to go on platform 3, I can get the Bakerloo line to Wilston, from Wilston Junction to Harleston, Stonebridge Park, Wembley Central, North Wembley, South Kenton, Harrow and Wildstone, Headstone Lane. Oh, hang on, the Bakerloo finishes at Harrow and Wildstone. The overground continues to Headstone Lane, Hatch End, Carpenters Park, Bushby, Watford High Street and Watford Junction. So let's head towards Elephant and Castle, and I'll get off at Maida Vale if I don't manage to get a overground service in the meantime. Maida Vale is one of the stops where I can get back to the hotel for the 98. London Overground. There's an overground train.
Out. is Queen's Park. Change here for London Underground Bakerloo Line. Please mind the gap between the train and the platform. Please keep your luggage with you at all times and report anything suspicious to a member of staff.
I have just got off the London Overground train at Kilburn High Road. It's my first journey on London Overground on this particular trip. When I was here in 2011, London Overground was basically launched. Just to explain, as I understand it, the differences between the Underground and the Overground. The London Underground is actually a misnomer because the journeys on the London Underground are not underground for the entire network. About 50% of the network is underground and 50% isn't when you come out to areas such as where I've been staying at Willesden Green. It's not underground, but it's still part of the London Underground network. Until a few years ago, there were different train operators for what is now the London Overground network. Parts of the network were closed for quite some time to become part of the London Overground network. Some parts of the former London Underground network became parts of the Overground. The corporate identity looks fairly similar. The round circles and trains and everything are more orange on the Overground, where the predominant colour on the Underground is red. So that's one way of basically telling them apart. As a passenger though, you have to be careful, because sometimes you might want to be at an Underground station where you have to go to the Overground station, or vice versa, because they are two separate companies. Some tracks and everything are shared, some stations are shared, some aren't. And so that could be interesting. Pretty much like the situation is in Japan, where I was earlier in the year. Having said that, with the Oyster card, it doesn't necessarily matter which operator you're on, as long as you're in the right zone. In my case, Zones 1 and 2 for the ticket that I've got loaded on my Oyster card. It doesn't matter who the bus operator is, for instance. It doesn't matter who the train operator is, as long as I'm within those zones and I don't need a reservation, an Oyster card is accepted. I'm fine to go between the Underground and the Overground as much as I want, pretty much. So the trains are fairly similar, the Overground trains are fairly similar. They're all new or refurbished, I believe, as part of the new launch of the Overground. From what I can see, a lot of the Overground service sort of skirts around central London with some entry points into central London. For instance, if I was to continue on, I'd end up at Euston Station. So if I was to continue on there. Of course, there's many interchange opportunities between the Underground and the Overground. But I thought I'd get off here because I do need to eat. And from here, if I was to go back directly to the hotel from here, I can, of course, go to the 98 bus, and that will take me back to the lodge. I can also take the 98 and a number of other buses in towards the centre of London itself. I can also catch the Overground, and around here, within somewhat of a walk, would be the Kilburn Underground station as well. Sometimes, as I was saying earlier, you have to be careful. And as I found out yesterday, you can have a station called Hampstead, for instance, and you know, you might want the West Hampstead station and you're at the south one, or vice versa. This one's Kilburn High Road, which basically indicates to me that it's right in the middle of Kilburn itself, whereas the Kilburn London Underground station is totally different to the Overground station. So knowing that it is an Underground station compared to an Overground station can be important for navigation purposes. Over the next few days, I'll be taking more trips on the London Overground. Yes, I know it's here, and say, for instance, from the lodge, I can get the 98 bus direct to here. And if I continue on the bus, I'll end up in one part of central London. If I catch the overground train from here, I'll end up somewhere else. Of course, on my train podcast, On the Rails We Work, what I'll do when I get back, I have a few episodes to produce where I can actually do some fact checking and give you some more precise information from the computer, intermixed with some of the sounds of being on the particular system. I don't necessarily want to do those episodes on location. As you can imagine, for someone like me, there's lots of different trains I can be riding on, lots of different trains I can be seeing. Because of privatisation here in the UK, there's so many different train operators now. And even from my 2011 trip to the 2014 trip, there's been a lot of changes, especially in the more longer distance trains, with some operators losing contracts and picking up contracts and whatnot as well. So all very, very interesting stuff indeed. You'd think I was starring in an episode of Dark Compass with a siren like that. Another London ambulance just zooms past at a great rate of knots.
Hello. Good. I have a couple of suitcases.
Yes.
And what happened was the key broke in the lock. And so, obviously, I have to get another key to be able to open it.
Yeah.
Do you sell spare keys? I know you sell luggage. Do you sell spare keys? Mm-hmm. You don't. Yeah, because I can't cut the lock because it's in the edge.
Yeah.
So it's in the edge of the bag. Sorry?
You don't have to sell.
Yeah. Annoying. So what do you think I should do?
There is a back repair shop in Baker Street.
In Baker Street.
They might be able to.
Okay. What about a locksmith? Would the locksmith be able to get it out and then...
You can ask them. There is one across the road, but I think they are closed.
Okay, I'll have a look there. Thank you. So here I am in Golders Green, still in the northwest, So basically, what happened then, I saw a luggage shop, so I thought I'd go to the luggage shop and ask the question, and in case you couldn't hear what the guy actually said, he wasn't the loudest speaker in the whole world, was that basically, no, they don't have keys and I should go to a bag repair shop, and there's one in Baker Street, which would mean taking my bag into the centre of London. There is actually a locksmith across the road, a key cutting place, which is open, so I will go there and have a look and I'll ask that question as well. Like, they're probably not going to be able to do anything about it today because I don't have the bag or even the little bit of key with me. But At least getting some advice on the issue might be good. Hello. Hello. I don't know if you can help me. I've got some suitcases with my luggage and the key broke off in the lock.
The man that actually is here is not here today.
Oh, the man's not here.
He's here tomorrow.
Okay, no worries.
You'll be here about 9 o'clock tomorrow. There's a... Yeah, or you can go across the road.
Oh, he sent me over to you.
Yeah, he's not here today. He's okay. Shut on a Sunday.
Okay, no worries. Okay. I just thought it was worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
And so that shop is a combination dry cleaners / locksmith, and the locksmith isn't in. So I think I'm going to go with my original plan and to see the guy in Willesden Green tomorrow. That was my original plan. It was interesting that I saw the luggage shop. The luggage shop said to go across to the locksmith. The locksmith said go across to the luggage shop. So I've done both of those. I didn't think anything could be done right at the moment anyway, but I thought I'd ask the question. I know Ian from Canada was asking me the question on Twitter. He might not have heard the segment a little bit earlier where I did speak about it when I actually found the luggage place, but I'll try that tomorrow. And if I have to go to a luggage repair shop, well, I'll have to go to a luggage repair shop because I can't go all this time with just basically two sets of clothes. So this morning I was catching various buses. I caught a bus up to Wembley. Lots of teenage girls gathering there and tween girls gathering for the One Direction concert. Decided I needed to get out of Wembley as quick as possible, so I did. Got another bus to Golders Green, which is where I am now. It's just gone 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Beautiful sunny day here in northwest London. Lots of people out. Most of the stores around here are now open. You'll see some that are closed. But the majority of them are open. So lots of people taking advantage of the nice weather to walk around and do some shopping, sit in cafes or whatever. There's another locksmith over there that's open. I'll ask a question. Hello. Do you cut keys?
Not today.
Not today?
No, on Sunday.
Oh, not tomorrow. Not here. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's the answer I thought I'd get. But, you know, it only takes one question in the right place and I might actually just get the key I need. So, you know, worth a try. Never die wondering. Hello. Just the drink, please. Thank you. What town am I in? What's the name of the town here?
Town is Chapel Road.
Chapel Road.
Yeah, NW10, 9EJ something.
Yeah, Chapel Road. Okay, yeah. Thank you. G'day, I'm Merck, and I'm coming to you from Eric Road. In Chapel Road, according to the guy that I just spoke to there. In Northwest 10, I have a road that is named after me. I was on the 266 bus heading back in the general direction of the lodge. And the bus, and I wasn't recording, I wish I had been. Actually, I should walk back a stop and record the actual bus recording of it. The bus says, next stop, Eric Road. And I got all excited and I thought, oh, well, I'll get off here. There's a stop named after me. So I'll get off and the street, it's basically a cul-de-sac. There's a, like a greengrocer on the corner where I just got that drink from. There's an abandoned, on one corner, there's an abandoned building on the other corner. And the whole street itself probably goes for 200 metres. There is another section which may still be that road, which we'll go up and have a look at now, where it's actually fenced off. It looks like a car park behind it. Yeah, there's a car park behind us. I'm now going to walk for you the full length of Eric Road. Here we go. Walking, 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 dum, 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 and done. I have walked the entire length of Eric Road. I didn't time myself to see how long that would take, but I have walked the entire length of Eric Road. So I will walk back to the previous bus stop. As we head back in the general direction of the lodge. The road I'm on now is called Church Road. And I'm heading back in lightning back away from Wolston Green to the previous bus stop. Well, I'll be able to tell you the name of the place myself. It is Church End. Church End is the name of the community that I'm actually in. So, Eric Road, Church End. There's some irony for you. Okay, that's the 266 heading in the opposite direction, the direction from which I just came. So I can't remember which way I turned on to get onto Church Road, so I'll just wait for this bus to do it for me. Okay, it's turning left. I can see a bus stop over there. That's the one I'll probably have to go to. On another sign I can see over there, it also says that I'm in Wealsden. Or Wealsden. But if the official sign says from the borough of Brent, welcome to Church End, well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm in Church End. You know, Wealsden's a wider area. You know, sometimes I get amused by small things, and you know, for some people who have got a relatively common name, it's pretty easy to have a street named after them. But when it comes down to a name like mine, you know, that is the bus stop over there. Okay, I'll have time for the next bus, that's fine. For people with an uncommon name like mine, if you see a sign with your name on it, you go get your photo taken in front of it. I certainly did that. No surprise there. Bus drivers recognising each other there with a bit of hornage there. One was driving his car and the other was driving his bus. So yeah, some things, you know, small things amuse me. I did go to Hungary, to Budapest, for the simple reason that there was a village of Urk there. And I found out that the village of Urk was a farming village about 100 kilometres out of Budapest. I tried to find the Urk Ranch in one of the Dakotas in America. Couldn't find it, unfortunately. But I did see the town of Urk. And, of course, there's a couple of variations in Germany as well. Urkner being one of them. Now, of course, some of you may not know the Urk story, but I'll tell it to you very briefly. I was about the age of 10. And I got sick of calling my uncle by his name the whole time, so I just called him Unc, short for uncle.
And so he says, oh, that's all right, Erkin. You know, I was about 10 and it's stuck. Erkin variation stuck ever since. You know, Erk, Erko, Erka, Erky, Erk the Jerk, you know, things like that. Most of my projects have had Erk in the title ever since. I only really met one person who really hated it. She called me Big E instead, which I wasn't as happy with, and I don't talk to that particular person anymore anyway, so screw her. I'm here relaxing at the end of a day in the lodge. This is the bar slash dining room slash breakfast nook, whatever you want to call it. There's a few interesting knickknacks here. There's a really old cash register. I'm sitting under a massive set of spotlights. Yeah, they look like spotlights. And there's a piano over there, and in the area behind us there's all sorts of motorbikes and motorcycle parts and old radios and old helmets and whatnot over there for some obscure reason, I'm not sure. Feeling a little bit sleepy this evening. It's approaching 9 p.m. The sun is still out though. Did a fair bit of walking and a fair bit of bus travelling today, so not sure if there's a bit of jet lag. Not sure if there's a bit of jet lag setting in, or the fact that I've, you know, been getting up earlier than what I usually do, and that sort of thing. And I haven't had, since I've been gone almost a week, I haven't had like a really lazy day yet for the entire day. You know, there's always been some sort of activity or travel of any description involved. So, yeah, just sitting back relaxing. I know that you shouldn't expect to be, you know, hyper-going 24 hours a day sort of thing. But, yeah, I just feel relaxed at the moment. A little bit sleepy. Not feeling massively hungry, so still got about two hours, I guess, before the kitchen actually closes. I should check that bank Sunday, that the hours might be different. But, you know, if I don't eat, I'm not, like, overly hungry at the moment, where I absolutely need to eat at the moment, so just the sort of stage that I'm in at the moment, where, you know, I don't particularly want to go to bed at 9 o'clock. I don't want to go to bed at 9 o'clock, you know, while the sun's still out and all that sort of stuff, because I don't want to be up stupid ridiculously early in the morning. First matter of business, we'll be heading down to the locksmith. He opens at 9 a.m. Now, I think I might have figured out, after a slight question from Ian on Ian from Canada on Twitter, and thinking about it a little bit more, I think I might have actually figured out what happened to the key. I discovered it on, is it Friday morning? Yeah, Friday morning after I woke up, I arrived in London Thursday night. What's possibly happened is that before I checked in at Abu Dhabi to come to London on Thursday, I've had to relock the bag because it's come open, it's popped open. And so possibly while trying to get the key out of the lock, it snapped and I haven't realised it. And, you know, it's, the bag's locked, and I checked it in and I put the key, or what would have been remaining of the key, in my pocket. So that would have been the last time. I'm thinking that would have been the last time that I have actually used the key, or if not then, it would have been when I arrived here in the hotel room on Thursday night. That could have possibly been it too, and I've just put the key in, turned it, and it snapped off, and, you know, I haven't realised because it's only a small key put in my pocket, and that's probably what's happened. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. Try and get that sorted, because as I said, I've run out of clothes in that particular bag. Yeah. Oh man, what doesn't help my current situation of feeling tired is that I'm sitting in a rather comfortable lounge at the moment, so that probably doesn't help. The music's not the best music known to man, but I've been listening to AKFM Metal Monday. Actually listening back to episode number 1 from October 2011. So, me sleeping in, me sitting in this comfortable lounge doesn't necessarily help. I could have went back down the high street and, you know, had a pub dinner or something like that, but I don't feel like it. So I should probably wander over now. They don't seem to be too busy at the moment with, you know, taking orders for food and whatnot. So I think I'll go and do that now. Hey, come out and play. Someone's playing Green Day in the outdoor patio area.